Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here. I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, and if there was ever a day for Mick Sharkey to race his way into human immortality and tip the card, it would be Derby Day. Sharkey, it is the great day of racing on the Australian calendar. Every race, a group race, four group ones. I can't wait for tomorrow, the start of the Melbourne Cup Carnival. How are you, Sharknado? Are you up and about? Are you excited?
I am. Very excited, Michael. Look, I just can't wait to get stuck into it, really, for Derby Day. It's Christmas for racing fans, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant. The fields are terrific. There are some very challenging races on the card, and I think there are some races there with long tails that we might just be able to launch into.
Well, probably not the traditional full fields that we see on a Derby Day, but there is still a lot of quality, and there's a lot of punting positives, so I think there's a bit of confidence around the traps that we may be able to make a dollar on Derby Day, which is always difficult, Sharky, as you know. Are you confident?
Never difficult to make a dollar, Michael. You just got to have faith. You got to believe, brother. And then you have to launch. There's a few JWWWs there tomorrow. Just wins will win.
I like that. SMS is already flying through. Hello, Sharky. Now, this is interesting. Sharky, what do you make of Russian Camelot's Betfair move last night? Now, you texted me about this a little earlier.
Very
what
interesting,
has been going on with the fair and Russian Camelot?
Yes, some interesting transactions overnight. He traded it as much as 120 to 1 overnight. Did Russian Camelot, which I thought was rather odd, and a couple of people on Twitter alerted the public to that. Damien Ratcliffe from The Age, of course, so he was onto it as well, and he suggests his investigations that it might have been a fault in basically a trade robot sort of system that somebody set up. But
how much was traded?
I can't see that. We'd have to get in contact with someone at Betfair to find that out. I can't work it out off the graph, but yeah, I don't think it was a lot of money. But he was out there, way out there at 120s in the wee hours. So if you're up in the wee hours and you got some of it, well played. Back to $13 now.
Yeah, a lot of alarm bells would have been ringing, and we made a few calls. So there is nothing wrong with Russian Camelot because of that. He's still headed towards the Lexus Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. And, of course, final field tomorrow, barrier draw tomorrow night. You'll see that live on Network 10's Derby Day coverage. And as we do each and every year, Shark, there are horses which are sweating until the last moment of getting a start. And there are horses also which need to be re-vetted today to get the green light. Warning, Ocean X a little later today as well will be re-vetted. So there's going to be a lot of drama and twists and turns before that final field is announced.
You love the drama, don't you? You know, right back from your TV news hound days, kicking in stable doors and demanding answers. This is
I don't know about that.
You just froth on this sort of stuff.
Do you know what I'm demanding? I'm demanding right now is winners from you. And what we'll do, we'll go through the card in racebook order and we'll focus heavily on the four group ones. Let's kick it off with the Network 10 Carbine Club at Stakes. Traditionally, it's been a great race. A lot of good horses have come through this race. Saintly won this race going back years ago. And we've got a couple of nice horses from the Hayes Dabinig stable that dominate the market. Acer, who was pretty stiff in the Caulfield Guineas, has been smashed, Sharky. It's into $2.10. Is it a just win good thing start to the day on Derby Day?
I think this is one of the tougher races on the day because there's nothing between the top four on talent. The race doesn't have a lot of speed, so I think you'd want to be nearer the speed or at least with the best turn of foot to win it. And then there's a sneaky little one down towards the bottom, So Let's Toast, that I think has been probably set to peak here, if not into a Sandown Guineas. So very tough to separate Azar and Embolism. I think Embolism will prove to be the best horse in the race long term. I think he's a Group 1 horse in the making, and we may well see that in the autumn. But I'm not sure if a sit-sprint race will suit him. We have seen Azar race right up on speed in races like this in the past, and he's been too good. I'm thinking from Barrier 2, that's where Damien Lane has him, along with his stablemate, Crosshaven. He's got good speed too. I think he's probably the other natural on-speed runner. Whether we see you know, a fender bender or something like that roll forward with the winkers on the first time. That might be the little wild card there, but the rest of them like to balance up and finish off. Acer is the way I've gone. You can't ignore that Guineas run, can you? All that Guineas form. And with the... This race carries that big bonus, doesn't it? For horses...
No, not this year.
Not this year? Oh, okay,
right. No, last year, I think there was $1 million bonus at Dallas and won.
Well, in the past it has, but it's a nice progression for those sort of horses falling out of the Guineas anyway if they're chasing a group win, as Tom Davenig suggested before our segment. So he's on top, but not with a great deal of confidence. Wouldn't shock me if Embolism won the race. He's the horse I want to follow into the autumn from this race.
All right, Embolism is $5, Acer's $2.10, and I agree with you. I think that Solet's Toast was a really nice run behind In Danger. I love the way she wants to hit the line. So she's a $17 pop, $3
That's
the place on the joint McArdle stables.
Too big. Yeah. And the thing was, that you look at the Benalla run in a 58, and you think, oh, 58, it was beaten there. But the horse had one really soft jump out going into that race. It was almost like a second trial at Benalla. So the improvement was going to be there at Caulfield. He proved that. Hit the line really, really well. Gets the head out nice and low and really wants to find the line. So, yeah, he's the upset chance in the first for sure.
All right, that is the Carbine. Race number two is the HG Mum Wakeful Stakes, a Group 2 over 2,000. Traditional lead-up to the Oaks, and Your Girlfriend is Back. Mm-hmm. Personal $3 favourite. Victoria Keys, a really intriguing runner from South Australia. Gee, she ran well last up from the McAvoy stable. Agreeable, another horse that you've been pretty happy to follow in recent times, is at $7, and then you're out to Star L. Is tomorrow the day for Your Girl Personal? There can be no excuses. She was very good in the 1,000 guineas. She looks like she wants 2,000. Are you happy to dive in at $3?
Yes, is the short answer. And after I picked myself up off the floor when she was second in the 1,000 guineas and cancelled the new boat and the deposit on the condominium in Maui, you know, we recovered and was able to actually watch the replay, and she does look like a horse that wants 2,000 metres. She raced that way in the Tranquil Star. There wasn't exactly a big turn of foot there, but she kept staying on, and she continued to stay on in the guineas as well. So look, she's by Fastnet Rock, and we know Fastnet can get a good middle distance horse, even a classic horse. She's out of a mare that's by Galileo, but it's a bit misleading because that's a big speed family. There have been a couple of horses from that family that have run out to 1,900 metres, 2,000, in lesser grade than this. So I'm hoping there's a bit of a Fastnet Galileo factor there, and she can get the trip. If she runs the trip, she wins. She's the best horse in this race by some margin. I think the danger and the value is Salto Angel. Very interested in it. It has had tempo against it at its last three runs, and she's run really, really well and hit the line like a coming winner in the Ethereal. So want to see how she goes here ahead of launching into the Oaks.
She is currently $14.370 the place. What do you make of Victoria Key? I thought she hit the line really well behind a horse that would have probably been favourite in the Victoria Derby if they decided to go that way. Ain't No Deal Done.
She is really talented, but she's also very new. The Balaclava win was good, but she was all over the shop, and she was green again in that Hill Smith. She's going to need to have improved, and she'll need to turn up a more polished horse if she's going to win this race against the likes of Personal. The raw ability is definitely there, but I've got her... You know, if she won, it wouldn't shock me. I've got her in the more of an autumn filly sort of category at the moment.
All right, so it's a chips in. $3 Personal?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a good crack at Personal. I have to, don't I?
Absolutely. Hey, we've got an SMS coming here. I didn't catch Get On last night, but yeah. I normally see the replay. After his appearance on Get On last night, Shark Towers could be heading down Media Street. All platforms in Melbourne. Did you star on Get On last night, Shark?
I might have made a brief cameo appearance on the old show. Yeah, just a little cheerio. It's celebrating 10 years this year.
That's right.
So
it is.
No, I did bob up there, and I think now, it's, you know, there's always...
You had hair when you used to be on that show.
It was all one colour too. That was the real disappointment with the little picture that was on there. But I think more worrying for some members of that current panel is the burgeoning love affair that I now have with Clint Hutchison's mum. So that sparked up on social media as well last night. So I think Lana and I have a date scheduled for when the borders open. So Hutchie might be calling me daddy in the future.
I've actually met Clint Hutchison's mum over in Perth, and she's a lovely lady. She's too good for you. Don't worry about that. So you've got you just stay right where you are, Sharky. Don't put the Hutchie family through that pain. Let's get into race number three,
yeah,
and that is the Tab Stakes. Sometimes the apple falls far from the tree. race number three is the Tab Stakes, the old Linlithgow over 1,200 metres. Now, not a huge field here, only 10 going down the famous straight 12 at Flemington. There's a few tips, though, and a few nice horses. Octane's getting in really tight now. I can't believe it's $2.90 for Philip Stokes. Banquo, who likes Flemington, at $5.50. Kemal Passer, who won this race last year, is at $6. And then we go down to Blaze Jowski, who Dino gave a good push for today. And there are a few others who don't mind Blaze Jowski, including Glenn Ingram from the Trial Files, and it's at $7.50. So do you give Blaze Jowski a good chance first up? He flies first up.
He's got some chance. For me, I want to see him race to this standard first up 1,200. You know, he won down the straight fresh last time, but it wasn't in a race like this. This is a much stronger race. Wouldn't shock me if he won, but if he wins, I'll probably be losing on the race.
So who are you with then?
I'm going to back two horses. I think you have to back Octane on his sectionals and on his form.
Is he getting too tight?
No, I don't think so at 290. Look at what he's done. Like, he ran straight past Haydock in the Scalacci, and he finished alongside Diamond Effort, and Dirty Work wasn't far ahead of him. Like, Dirty Work's been placed in that Manicato at Moonee Valley, and Diamond Effort's probably going to start favourite in the last tier. So he's got the right form. He runs sectionals. The straight track's no issue for him. We saw him win down the straight back in August. I think you have to like him on form and times. The other horse that I can't believe the odds on is number one, Coruscate. He is absolutely airborne. Both wins at Caulfield have been dominant. He carries 60 kilos, and he's up a little bit in grade from those listed races into this at Group 2 standard, but at least he's got recent winning form. Some of these haven't won in a little while, and I reckon they're just going, a few of these horses. So I'm going to be backing those two horses here, Miguel.
All right. Any question in your mind with the 1,200 metres for Octane? He's had two starts and yet to place.
No. Look, down the straight, he could probably get away with it because they'll run in a bunched field. I don't have the anticipation they're going to rip along in front here. It'll be a controlled speed, Kemal Passer and the like. If he can tag up behind them, I'm sure Jamie Carr produces a horse at the right time, and he'll let down with his turn of foot. If he's close enough, he'll be right there.
All right, Octane currently around 290, and Coruscate is 950, the win 270, the place in the Tab Stakes. Hey, let's have a chat to Liam O'Keefe. It's the busiest week in Liam's life each and every year. And the Flemington Racecourse, as Murphy's Law would be, with no crowds this year and no owners, is in magnificent condition, and the weather is looking outstanding as well. Liam, good morning to you.
Morning, Michael.
The track looks outstanding. The weather looks even better. You must be excited about the upcoming week.
Yeah, most definitely. It's weather's on our side this year, and unfortunately no crowds, but that's the way it rolls. And fairly straightforward forecast. It's going to warm up midweek next week, so we'll put plenty of water on after Derby Day, and get set for a big week.
So take us through your rail placement for the week.
Yeah, so we kick off on Derby Day in the true position, and then I'll probably follow a fairly similar pattern to last year where we went true 2-5 and then 7 or 8 for the last day. Just moving in small, frequent moves just enables us to get off the wear and tear around the home turn, get the horses onto fresh ground, and then that gives us a good foundation to put plenty of water on to make sure that the horses are galloping on fresh ground and not choppy ground. So it's worked well the last couple of years, so we'll stick with the same method.
So rail back to the true tomorrow. Do you think the rail will be the place to be, or you think it'll be all throughout the day, anywhere you can win from?
Yeah, you'll be able to win from anywhere, Michael. It walks really even across. We've had a couple of track walkers out already, and they've indicated the same thing. Mother Nature was kind to us last weekend, but not so to Marty, so that stage is putting some water on, and presenting great nick, so I'd expect it to race accordingly.
Where will they come down the straight, especially in the Coolmore?
I think they'll come down the middle and then just sort of spread out when the straight meets the circle. It's been the pattern. The barriers these days, Michael, set up in the middle of the track, so Straight line's the fastest way home, and I expect, middle to outside most of the week.
Well, no rain predicted. A beautiful, fine day tomorrow. All we need are some winners, Liam. Now, have you got one for us?
Well, I've got to get on the board, Michael. I'm copping plenty of stick from the other track managers, so we're going to go race one, number three, A-Star, all chips in.
Oh, going the shorty to get on the board. All right, I like it. Good on you, Liam. Good luck tomorrow, mate. First day of the huge Melbourne Cup Carnival.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe for joining us there. He's following the Shark in with Acer, who's the short price favourite in the first race. Let's have a look at race number four, which is the Lexus Hotham Stakes over 2,500 metres. It is the last chance roll of the dice to get into the Lexus Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. And there is only one horse in the race, Sharky, that if it wins, won't be lining up in the cup, and that is number two, Brimham Rocks. Ash runs an interesting runner here, Sharky, the international. What do you make of his run in the Geelong Cup?
It was solid. Look, he got going late in that race, didn't he? I think he was probably beaten for speed. He was doing his best work in that last 200 metres. He started to pick up and was finding the line. I don't think he was ever really getting them. He probably needed another 400 before he was going to sort of contest and get into that finish, because the ones in front weren't stopping. 61 kilos, relatively quick backup. We heard the stable were a little bit reluctant to run him here. I think they're much rather rolling the dice. If there's any sort of withdrawals, how many does he need to get in, Michael, in terms of the horses that are being vetted at the moment? Yeah.
I will find that for you. Ashrun currently is sitting... it was a good question without notice from you. I'm going to have to get back to you because I can't find him in there. So Ashrun, here he is, 29th in order of entry. So he's going to need five horses to come out. One of those is already out, Zabrowski. Mm-hmm. So he needs four more to come out. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got the winner of the Hotham, if it is not him, which will go in. So he's going to need a fair amount of attrition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, look, they have to roll the dice. They've come all this way, and so has the trainer. So I can understand why they're running, but it just didn't seem like in news dispatches that they were overly stoked to be in that position. In saying that, I'm backing against him anyway. A horse I was on heavily at a big price at Flemington last time in the Bart Cummings, Admire Robson.
Yeah.
I am rolling again here, and I am hoping that my tickets at 150 and 200 to 1 are live after this race. He's a good horse.
You're on early in the Melbourne Cup.
Certainly am. He'll probably
run second. $67 now. He's $67 now, and if he wins the Lexus, and he has been smashed in betting, it was $10 earlier in the week, $7 and then now into $5. So he is the hot horse as far as the tab is concerned into third favourite. If he wins, he will carry 50 kilos pending any type of penalty that Greg Carpenter may give him. So he'll get in with 50 kgs in a Lexus Melbourne Cup. Would you honestly give him any hope in what is shaping up to be the strongest Melbourne Cup in memory?
Yes, I would. He is a totally untapped talent. When he was in Japan, he was considered one of their brightest staying stars, and he was earmarked for group racing last season in Japan. He was purchased, came here, and look, he hasn't had much luck at all with injuries, but Paul Pruska's got him fit and well and racing really well. He was only second up into that Bart Cummings, and with a clear run, he would have been right there at the finish. So I think this race looks very, very good for him. Some of these others have been to various dances around town, haven't they, in the last month, and they've been trying desperately to win their way up the order and get penalties. Look, they're all exposed. Admire Robson is not exposed. We don't know how good he is. I have to be in his corner. And the other chance in the race that I think is well and truly worth having something on is Future Score, number seven. Really nice prep by Matt Kamani in the last 12 months to get this horse winning and get his rating up. Good Cranbourne Cup win from nowhere and just charged away from them. He's ready for an assignment like this. And I've got a couple of friends in the ownership of that horse too. So hopefully they get a bit of a thrill, and if Admire Robson can't win, I hope they do.
Yeah, well, speaking to Matty Kamani during the week, he said that if he did win, they would have a question mark about the backup. They'd probably go to the cup, but he wouldn't be too sure whether it would suit a horse like Future Score backing up from the Saturday to the Tuesday. No Chabau? Are you off Chabau?
I don't think Chabau. I think Chabau's biggest problem is, well, there's two of them. They're hanging between his back legs.
All right. We'll leave it at that. he's a $4.40 chance. Chabot, you don't think he's genuine enough to win Hotham and win his way into Alexis Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. All right, so you're backing Admire Robson. You're happy with $5 now, even though you've missed the good value?
It's pretty short now. I'm hoping that he gets out a little bit on race day. I think he's rock bottom at $5. If he got out to around $6, $6.50, I'd probably play.
All right, got an SMS here in regards to the Melbourne Cup. Sharky, how do you rate Tiger Moth? Is he a better horse than Rekindling and the other three-year-olds who have performed well and won the Cup?
Yes, he is.
Is he your Cup tip at this point in time?
No, he's not. I can't get off the surprise baby train, and I have that horse running for way too much money to abandon him. I just simply won't do that, Michael. I'll go down with the Titanic.
But are you punting with your head or your heart?
Well, I must admit, I do have Tiger Moth running as well for a good amount of money, but not as much as Surprise Baby, so I won't be devastated if he happens
to. Look, I love all of this. RSMS, it blows up every time you say that you've got these horses running for plenty, because you haven't tipped many of the early listeners into these multis that you've taken, and we asked for those at the start of the spring carnival. You tipped everyone into personal, and everyone's got knocked out. Yet you seem to somehow still be alive.
My spreadsheet of futures bets, we'd need a show to get through them all. So I'm not going to give every single bet that I take out on radio. I don't do that. What do you think this is?
Well, okay. The gloating is starting to rub off.
I've got to gloat now because chances are something else will knock me over and I'll get zero. So you might as well, you know, pump the chest out and strut around like you're going to win before the event, because usually you don't win and then no one wants to hear how close you were.
Well, I got an SMS here saying I got 340-1 on Admire Robson for the Melbourne Cup.
Must have been some boosting there, but well done if you got that.
And Brett's asking the same question. Michael asked Sharky why he backed Admire Robson at 150-201 and didn't tip him to us in the futures from weeks ago. That is not good enough. That's from Brett, and I concur 100% with you, Brett. All right, let's move on to the next race, which is the first of our Group 1s, the TAB Empire Rose, race number 5, a $1 million race here. And it is good to see Betty back. The Tassie champ spoke to Adam Trinder during the week. He is rapt with how she has progressed since that great win at the Valley. SMS here asking, guys, I really like Mystic Journey. Is she one of the good things of the day? The market has her currently, I think she's second favourite behind the three-year-old Odium. Yeah, she's at $4.40 and Odium's at $3.70. She's drawn to get a good run. She's got to carry 57 compared to the 49 under the weight for age of the three-year-old Odium. What are your thoughts on Mystic Journey?
Definite winning chance. I think there are only a few genuine winning chances in this race. Mystic Journey's one of them. Odium's another. Well, they're the obvious, aren't they, in the market? But I think there's one that's a little bit left field here in a race where they should run along at a genuine tempo with Shout the Bar, Felicia, Chica Fuerte, I love that name, and Forbidden Love down the bottom. I think this tempo is going to really suit a horse called Shayu, number 11. And I'm very keen to play here each way on Shayu. She was unbeaten, if we remember, as a two-year-old and beat Super Seth in a stakes race at Flemington. Then I think she might have broken her pelvis or something. There was some pretty serious injury that kept her off the track for 6 months or so. She's made a really good comeback. Her first up win was enormous. You need to go and watch it. She bombed the start by about 3 lengths, sat last in a race that played to those on pace, and she rounded them up and won. It was some win. And then her last start was just as good. The tempo was probably against her, and the track as well. She really took some riding around the corner there at Caulfield. Didn't really travel.
Yeah, she looked gone.
Yeah, didn't travel at all. But once she got balance in a straight line, she smacked the line. So I think Flemington is her track, and that's why Archie Alexander has kept her to big tracks for the majority of her career. I am more than happy to play each way Shayu.
She'd be a big effort. She's only had the 4 starts for 3 wins, but at weight for age, she's only getting a half a kilo off Mystic Journey and, you know, Doncaster winners. So for her to come out and win this at start number 5, it'll be a massive effort.
Well, that's assuming that she, the best she is a Group 3 place getter, and I think she might be a touch better than that. I think she might be much better than that, actually.
Can she sit closer?
I don't think she needs to with this tempo. I expect her to be sort of worse than midfield. But not miles and miles back, unless she bombs the start. From Barrier 4, I wouldn't think Declan Bates will have her back last. And we did see her in that Anzac Day Stakes in April last year. From a good gate, she was able to box seat, which was effectively midfield in a small field, and still win. So, yes, I'm hoping she sits midfield worse than midfield.
All right, so Shayu at around about $13. A listener's text in saying that look out for Shayu at $13. She will be flying down the centre of the track. That's Josh from Horsham. It could be a big weekend for Josh. All up into Yulong Prince because Lane jumps off Age of Chivalry for Yulong Prince, yep, and then get in the queue. So Josh from Horsham, he's got his two bets on Derby Day. No doubt he'll be having a little something on Surprise Baby come Cup Day as well. What about Odium? And what about Forbidden Love, the Richard Michael Friedman-trained Sydney three-year-old? Three-year-olds have won two of the last four of these. Can they do it again tomorrow?
I think Odium's the one that can. Chica Fuerte, probably that rung below that Group 1 level. And Forbidden Love, I'm going to risk at 1,600 metres. I thought she had the perfect run in that Reginald Allen 1,400. She led, controlled the speed. She did a little bit of work early, so you've got to factor that in. I like the fact that she did quicken when she was asked, but she was all out on the line and others were picking her up quite quickly. I'm going to risk those other 2 3-year-olds.
All right, Sharky's pretty keen here. Good value each way. Shayu at $13. Mystic Journey, the main danger.
Absolutely, Mystic Journey and Odium.
Okay, all right. That is the first of the group ones, the Tab Empire Rose. The first leg of the quaddie is race number 6, and this is a mouth-watering race, as it is each and every year. It is the Coolmore Stud Stakes, over 1,200 metres, the Group 1 for the 3-year-olds. It's a stallion-making race, but once again, the fillies down the bottom could be spoiling the party for those who are looking for a multi-million dollar payday, Shark. September Run is the favourite at $4.20. Farnham's the head-scratcher. He's the X-Factor horse. Boss goes on at $5. Wild Rule at $6.50. Spots at $8.50. Anders is eased out to $9. And Glenfiddich is another horse who is a big question mark about, with Peter Moody trying to freshen him up after what was meant to be a Caulfield Guineas and Cox Plate campaign before he had to have that minor throat surgery. First of all, Sharky, Farnham. What do you do with Farnham tomorrow?
What do you do? I think, as far as a quad is concerned, he has to go in. But you can't back him with any confidence off that run to the Rose and then the aborted Everest campaign. He's trialled well at Gosford. He's jumped out well at Flemington. You would think the freshen up from that terrible first up run where nothing, you know, went to plan, you'd think that's enough time for him to get over that. He's the best 2-year-old in the country last season. He can win. You just can't be, you can't be confident about this race. I think along with the first race and the Cantala, it's one of the hardest races of the day. You've got horses like Farn and you've got a horse coming off a throat operation. And Anders coming off heat stroke. Look, there's things here with multiple setbacks or issues throughout their prep, and we're being asked, oh, do you want to back them in a Group 1? No, I don't. The only horse that's, well, there's a couple that haven't had anything go wrong, September Run and Swat's that. And are they good enough to beat Farnan if Farnan turns up at its best? Wild Ruler's in the mix too, but he's coming through a bit of a left field sort of form line. It's a really tough race for me. I've got September Run on top. She's some query at 1,200. She's racing like she'll get it down the straight. Oh, can I tumble into her at $4? Probably not. But it's a bit of a default setting. At least she's doing everything right. And her two last start wins down the straight, her times have been absolutely beautiful for a race like this. She's hard to beat. But I can't back it.
Well, let's have a listen to what Chris Waller had to say about September Run a little earlier in the week.
Sure is. Loves the straights and had a jump out last Thursday in a bit of quiet work this morning up the straight with Craig Williams in the saddle, and Craig said that she was terrific, very strong over the concluding stages. Yeah, takes on the boys, never easy, but I think history would say the fillies have still got a pretty good record.
They do have a really good record in this race in recent years especially, Sharky. So she's getting in tight though, isn't she? She's a $4.20 favourite, and then if Anders, you took out his last start, he would have been a $4 favourite in this race. Were you that disappointed with his run, or was it the hardness of the run that has put you off Anders coming to Flemington down the straight?
Does he get 1,200? That's my big question. Is he a really fast 1,000-metre, 1,100 horse that he can burn them off? At 1,200 last start, he still ran along at a pretty decent tempo, and they were right there with him. You couldn't shake him off. If he wins, good luck to them. I'll probably risk him. I think, at odds, horses in the race that if you said you have to bet, rather than back September run it, potentially a shortening $4, maybe something with a 3 in front of it, I could have a try at Flying Award. Fresh, I think he's an immense.
Well, that's another
talent.
X factor.
Yeah, he's an immense.
I mean, that'd be
talent.
A huge training effort to get him back, because he was, I don't know what happened at Caulfield.
Well,
something wasn't right.
Yeah, he didn't handle the wet at all. So, yeah, it's not, at least he hasn't had surgery like some of the others. It's not a bridge so far, I think, with Flying Award, and his jump out was good. Half of these jumped out, jump on the Flemington jump outs page and you can watch them. There's about 4 or 5 of them that go around in the same heat on the 21st, I think, of October. It's well worth watching. Wild Ruler won that heat. There's nothing wrong with his form. And the thing I like about Wild Ruler, he can trail a genuine tempo and then quicken off it. And usually that's a really good recipe for success down the straight. So, yeah, he is in the game for sure, Wild Ruler.
All right, well, first leg of the quaddie, Sharky, give us your numbers.
1, 2, 5, 11, 12, 14.
1, 2, 5, 11, 12, and 14. So you've got Farnan, Wild Ruler, the 5, which is Ranting, 11, Flying Award, 12, Swats That, and the 14, which is September Run in the first leg of the quaddie. The Coolmore Stud Stakes, the second of the 4 Group 1s. We'll take a quick break. It is 25 minutes to 10 o'clock. When we come back, it'll be the remainder of the Derby Day program, and of course, we'll have a look at the Golden Eagle up in Sydney as well.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus, a special Derby Eve edition with Mick Sharkey finding all the winners. Keep those SMSs coming through, 0416 90 50 50. We will now find the winner of the feature, the $2 million Amy Victoria Derby, the 167th running. And Shark, it's fair to say that it's a pretty open edition. There are no standouts, so we might run through every runner quickly, and let's kick it off with the toppy, Cherry Tortoni. Had a good chat to Patrick Payne, who's looking for his first Group 1 win as a trainer, backing up after his win in the Vase last week, which is always a great form line towards the Derby, and has been the best backed runner this week into $4.20. What chance do you give the Cherry?
I think he has some winning chance. I'm slightly concerned about the distance and where he's going to settle in the run. To date, his best runs have been on soft ground. He's not going to get that tomorrow. There's, on that Vase win, which was very good, and God bless him for winning that last week, there's enough push there to say he's going to be in the game. But the soft track form line, the position, I have him settling last. I'm sort of leaning more towards, it's going to be a tough ask for Cherry Tortoni.
All right. So not even top three?
I've left him out of my top three.
Okay. Cherry Tortoni up against it, according to Sharky. Alborado, the winner of the Caulfield Classic, Mark Zara for Trent Buston and Natalie Young. He is currently the third favourite at $7. He's a horse that has been doing a bit wrong in his races, but he shows a lot of fight, Shark.
Heaps and heaps of fight. Importantly, he had runs as a two-year-old and form around Cherry Tortoni, and then he was back and racing really well through a very purposeful preparation towards this trip. He's got the seasoning to run the distance. He's got the miles in his legs to run the distance. And importantly, nothing has gone right for this horse at its last two starts, and it's still run really, really well. He's got that Quakeway Young Werther form line. He was, you know, less than a length from those two horses. Young Werther goes off a favourite here, and Alborado's, nearly twice his price. I think he's a definite winning chance. Just hoping that there's enough speed on to help him so he doesn't have to take off so early as he has done in these last two starts.
All right, number three is Johnny Get Angry would be the fairy tale story of the Derby for Dennis Pagan, premiership winning coach. If he could train the winner of a Derby after getting his licence just 6 months ago. Lockie King rides, huge moment for Lockie King. His dad, Stephen, won two Derbies. And for Johnny Get Angry, blinkers first time and the barrier extension. We spoke to Dennis yesterday. Here's a snippet of what he had to say.
Yeah, he's a plus vital. You send some blood over to Ireland and they'll do a genetic DNA for you. And he's come back what they call a TT long, which virtually says he's a long-distance staying horse, you know, at his best, 2,400 metres plus. So we hope that kicks in. And, you know, he just looked... I just did an interview a couple of minutes ago and he was out in the sun and he looks so good. He's dappled up. And, you know, I'm pleased with him at the moment, I can tell you.
Well, he's a horse that looks like he'll stay the distance. Can he stay it quick enough, though, Shark?
I think he can. I think he'll be coming right into his own here while others start to feel the pinch a little bit. I'm just hoping with the blinkers and the barrier extension from and the good gait that Lockie can have him sort of midfield at worst. I think if he gets too far back in this race, he'll be grinding home, but there might be others that are just sort of whacking away in front of him and it might cost him running into the placings. He's a bet in the race, in my opinion. I'm backing him each way. I think he's overs.
$26 and $6, a winning chance. Johnny Get Angry. Number four is Let's Karaka Deal. Kiramar Dave Eustace ran second in the Norman Robinson behind Alborado. He's only lightly raced another done deal. Colt, can he win?
I'm going to risk him. He was unlucky at Flemington two back. Then he got a really, really nice run at Caulfield on speed in a race that, on tempo, should have played to those on the pace. He kept whacking away and was there at the finish, but Alborado had a much tougher run and ran past him. Hit the shot, was about to go past him another stride. So I think those two horses will beat him home again.
All right. Young Verda is the favourite. In recent history, we've never had a horse so inexperienced win a Derby. He's coming in at just his third start by Tavistock. Winkers first time. Danny O'Brien knows how to get these horses fit. Earlier in the week, he declared he's even fitter than his Melbourne Cup contenders on Tuesday. He was scratched last week from the Vars because of the wet track. Are you happy to take $4 about Young Verta from the Good Barrier with D. Oliver, who is shooting for his seventh win in the Victoria Derby?
I think more importantly, the winkers go on because he was a little bit wayward there last time at Flemington going through the field. He sort of lost concentration on a couple of occasions, finished alongside Quay Quay, probably goes past him in another 50 yards or so. Quay Quay then goes and runs so well last week behind Cherry Tortoni. So I think the form line's right. It's the better form in this race all ties in around Quay Quay from those last couple of starts, Alborado, Young Verta through that as well. I'm not buying into this talk. Some people you hear talking about this horse, it's like he's a superstar. I 100% am not buying into that. Like, he might be the best stayer in this race, or he might be the, you know, the classiest horse in this field, but this is not a vintage Derby. I'm not having it that, oh, this is, oh, he's a weapon, he's this and that, rah, rah, rah. He's a nice horse, and he probably deserves to be favourite. I don't think the third run into a Derby is an issue. Look what they do in Europe. Look how Danny O'Brien's been training in the last few years. He's training his stayers to a European pattern. We saw it with Fowl and Declare last year. We've seen it since then with Russian Camelot. There's no reason why fitness is going to bring Young Verta unstuck. He's going to get a great run. I think he's a deserved favourite, and he's my other bet in the race.
All right, $4 Young Verta, who has been easy this week. Hit the shock. You mentioned Quay Quay. This is the stablemate. Matt Kamani decided not to run Quay Quay. He wasn't sure of him at the 2,500, but he is very, very certain about Hit the Shot, who was the eye catcher in the Norman Robinson, flying home for third. His fifth start in a race, he's only won the one. Matt Kamani and Fred Kersley. What a story it would be for Fred Kersley, both chasing their first Group 1 in the Derby. $7. Hit the Shot. Is he a winning chance?
He is. Probably leaning more each way. He is a big track horse. He needs Flemington, and we saw that at Caulfield last time. As soon as they started the turn, he lost momentum, and he was in reverse. The sit sprint didn't help him either. But he was doing his best over that last 200, 250 when he got balanced and straight and really warmed up into his work. He's got a lovely action on him when he gets moving and when he is at full stride. I think he can win the race. He didn't have any luck at Flemington before that. Yeah, he's right there in the thick of things, I think, as one of the better each-way plays.
Number seven is Sechuayo. Danny O'Brien, again, Winker's first time. Jamie Carr, I think it might be Jamie Carr's first ride in the Derby. Six in the Norman Robinson, really good at Flemington, last start before that. And then was a horse that just seemed to also lose his way in the Norman Robinson, but did hit the line. Can it win a Derby?
Yeah, I'm not sure he was hitting the line or if he was just staying on. I had to watch it quite a few times to work out if he was running past tired horses or if he was actually making ground on those in front of them. And I think it might have been the former. He was staying on, but it was at one pace. I think this horse's best chance of running into the money is to go forward and keep rolling. If he gets back in the race and tries to run on, there are others with a better turn of foot than Sechuayo. I think Jamie Carr has to be bold and go forward and try and use his horse's stamina because he's got plenty of it.
All right, he's a $18 chance. Redwood Shadow is a $14 chance in the Mick Price McKen Jr. stable. Jai McNeil, fourth in the Norman Robinson. He loomed up. I thought he was going to win at the 200, and then I'm not sure whether he just ran out of fitness or there was any issue with the distance. But he laboured into fourth after looming to win. Can he win the Derby?
I sort of read it as the run of a horse that might be coming to the end of its first prep. I thought he was every chance as they turned for home to run into the placings, and then, yeah, others were just a little bit stronger late. Maybe that's inexperience. I'm not sure if Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. want to run the horse in the race. He's obviously done well. Look, if he won, I'll be losing on the punt, but I'll have a smile on my face because a really good friend of mine, Jim Quinn's in the ownership of this horse. He's a terrific fella, and he's had a bit of a tough 12 months or so. And if he won a Derby, I'd have a smile on my face for sure.
Number nine is Wertheimer. He's a $31 chance. He came through the Spring Champion race, the same race Cherry Tortoni came through and didn't perform. Cherry Tortoni bounced back. Do you give Wertheimer any chance?
Definitely goes in the third and fourth slot in trifectas and first fours. I think he will improve lengths on that Champion Stakes run. He got a massive side bump coming around the turn. I reckon that knocked the wind out of him. His run prior to that in that Sechuayo race was as good as hit the shots. I think if things go a little bit differently, he's probably hitting the line with more gusto in that Champion Stakes and he'd be half the price here.
Tour of Duty is a $26 chance as well. Mike Maroney, any chance?
Not for mine. He stays on well at one pace. I think there might be others that have a bit more class at the end though.
Token Spirit for Robbie Griffiths and Mike de Kock. Good to see Mike de Kock get a runner in a Derby so quickly with Robbie Griffiths. 50-1 chance. Any hope?
No, not for me.
All right, number 12, Born to Succeed. This is the real roughie of the race. 100-1, Saab Hassan. Good luck to Saab and the team. Just coming off a Wodonga maiden.
Absolutely. Good luck to Saab. I can see why he wants to run in the race. The Wodonga maiden was really tough, and I think if he's going to run well in any Derby this season, it's probably this one. You know, while others are immature, I just don't think he's good enough.
Wasaka coming through the Geelong Classic is a 50-1 chance.
Stayed on well enough in that Geelong Classic, but others were better in that race. I think others have more talent, and you could say the same about Kenzan, even with the blinkers on down the bottom, and Daniel Moore taking the ride from a good barrier. Lots of favours there. Maybe they push forward and just try and hold on into the top five money, but I don't think either of those bottom two are good enough.
All right, give us your selections in the Amy Victoria Derby for 2020.
Young Werther on top, Johnny Get Angry second. They are the two horses I'm backing in the race. As far as a quaddy is concerned, look, I'll chuck a handful of them in. Actually, do you know what? I'll cut Cherry Tortoni out at the last minute.
You're dropping the cherry from
I'll drop it out.
Quaddy.
Yeah, we do things like that on the whim, Michael. Two, Alborado. Three, Johnny Get Angry. Five, Young Werther. And six, Hit the Shot.
Two, three, five, and six. Alborado, Johnny Get Angry, five, Young Werther, and six, Hit the Shot. But Young Werther and Johnny Get Angry at $26, the two that Shark likes. SMS is coming through. Sharky, who would be your jockey to follow over the 4 days of the Flemington Carnival from Wardy?
Jamie Carr.
All right. She's on fire after four winners on Cox Plate Day. Race number eight, second last on Derby Day, and the last of the group ones is the Kennedy Cantala, and this is a traditional Cantala. It is as open as you will see. $5 the field. No scratchings at this stage. There are a few emergencies in the race. And Mr. Quickie looking to complete the tour at Cantala. Double is the favourite at $5.50 ahead of Buffalo River. 50 stars. He ran second in the race last year at $10. And then we're out to Wild Planet and Rock at $10. And Nonconformist around about $11 as well. Sharky, we need a few numbers, I would imagine, in this league of the quaddie.
We need plenty. And we've... How many have I got here? I think I've got like 8 or 9 and I still might miss it. This is a throw a dart job. Finally, we get a big race handicap with the spread in the weights. 58 down to 51 kilos. Oh, I love it. And there are even better. There are horses that are dropping in weight at their last run, which we haven't had in Toorak and Rupert Clark's in recent times. So for handicap lovers like me, it's a celebration, this race. But that might not save us on the punt. I think Wild Planet's a really good chance. He gets a bit of weight relief off that Moonga Stakes win, and that race has been a pretty good form reference for this one in previous years, so I give him a terrific chance. I think Chief Ironside was a great run in the Toorak. He just charged through there, loomed up like he was going to be in the placings, and then probably hit the wall fitness-wise. He's down 4 kegs, good draw. Karen McAvoy takes a ride. He's right in the game. Dare I say it, Cascadian's a chance with weight relief, down to 54.5 kegs, drops 4 on recent runs, and Flemington is going to help him no end, and his stable mate Vesta Day is likewise. Flemington run first up was fantastic with 61, then the Moonga run, his wheels were spinning on that soft track, never ever comfortable. Benny Melamon, he's won this race in the past, he hasn't carried this weight, 54.5, he's carried 55 in a little bit, but he hasn't gotten down in that 54 range since 2018. So Best of Days, I don't think he's one that you can leave out. It's a very, very open race.
All right, so who's your on-top selection?
Let's run with Wild Planet.
You put a bit of thought into that, or you just pulled that number
well,
out of
you could. I could legitimately back, at the odds, I could back 4 or 5 horses in this race at, you know, 20-1 and have a play. I don't really have a firm opinion on it.
All right, give us your quaddie numbers in the Kennedy Cantala.
It might be, I feel like Marianne Van Dorsler reading out the Tats Lotto numbers here. 4, 6, 7, 8, 11, 13, 14, 15, and your supplementary numbers, Michael, is number 16.
All right, so you're potting the top weights, so you don't like 50 stars or Mr. Quickie. 4, Wild Planet, 6, Best of Days, 7, Cascadian, 8, I Am Superman after what looked to be a disappointing run last start. 11, the Velvet King.
Got him there.
13, Buffalo River. 14, Chief Ironside. 15, Nonconformist, I'll give a good chance to as well. And King's Legacy, the 3-year-old, to bounce back with G-Boss on his back. If any of the emergencies gained a run, would you give them a chance?
Emergencies. Harbour Views, I would definitely include. But none of the others. On I'm Superman, it's worth noting. Yeah, face value might have been disappointing in a Toorak. But this horse had won a Group 2 at best. And he was within 1.5 kilos of Mr. Quickie in the Toorak. He jumped from 54.5 in the Shannon from winning that to 57.5 in a Group 1. Like, when does that happen? He gets back to his right weight range here and a very, very quiet ride from Jai McNeil from an inside barrier. I think he'll be in the first half of the field doing no work. He does have a turn of foot. He's in that group of horses I could back at odds.
Last of the 9 races at Flemington is the Furphy Sprint. We need to find the winner here, Sharky. Diamond Effort has been so honest this time in, is at 370 for 2.460. California Zimbal, $5 coming through that great race at Caulfield, and Fiesta at $8.50. Who do we put in the last leg of the quaddie?
You can trim right up here. 2, 3, 4, and 8 for the quaddie. If you want insurance, throw in Zaniah at a massive price. But 2, 3, 4, and 8, I think will get you there. It's a really, really nice race, this one. Diamond Effort brings that good form against the males, doesn't she? Winning the Heath, then the Moya was a great run. Great effort in the Scalacci. She's at her right distance. She's won down the straight before and has been very, very sharp down the straight before too. Back to mare's grade. It's really hard to oppose her. California Zimbal will land in a similar sort of spot. She's been down the straight once and has run well. I think this is the sort of race that Snowden's would have just earmarked for her. And I know Fatus wasn't far away from her, and maybe California Zimbal's better on a soft track. to my eye, she had Fatu's covered last time and gave her a kilo. So I'm thinking that that's a similar sort of scenario for those two this time around in terms of who finishes first. Fiesta is the knockout, flying a little bit fresh from that Northwood Plume run, but back in trip, probably needs the speed and the pressure on up front to be finishing over the top, but I'll throw her in as the best closer.
All right, lots of SMSs coming through, a number of them wanting your so-called filthy multi of the weekend. But before that, let's go up to Sydney and get the winner of the Golden Eagle. And it has been absolutely raining cats and dogs all week up in Sydney. So you'll want a mutter of a mutter. And the market has the favourite, if I can find it, at Rose Hill. The fact that the race is at Rose Hill may actually save it, because Randwick would not be able to handle the wet. Funstar has drawn the car park. It's $5 favourite. Colette, $6. Alligator Blood is at $7. And Sierra Sue has been the best back runner all week. $20 at the start of the week and is now into $10. Who wins the Golden Eagle?
Oh, it's diabolical, this race. I'm probably going to back Riadini each way. I like that Epsom form line. I'll probably have something each way on that. Funstar's never been one of mine. I think she runs good races a lot without winning, but her heavy track form is undeniable. And the horse you mentioned there, Sierra Sue, money talks, doesn't it? She was excellent winning last start. I think you have to give her some sort of chance in this race.
All right. Best of the day at Flemington on Derby Day. Who are you with?
Well, I'm going to launch personal, I think. Probably personal admirer Robson are two bets that I'm going to take. With a degree of confidence, I'll be betting in races 2, 3, 4, 5 and 7.
And what about your multi for the weekend?
Chuck, really
every week you've got
thought,
to put
Michael.
Some homework in. You know we're going to ask you every week.
Flemington, race 2, number 1, personal. Race 4, number 11, admire Robson. Now let's give them something. Let's give them something to really froth over. Let's do it early, actually. Flemington, race 5, number 11, Shalou, the place.
That's disappointing from you, Sharky. We were anticipating a well-researched, thought-out multi. Maybe something on a Friday for the punters. Anything at the Valley tonight?
Anything at the Valley tonight? Yes, there is a couple at the Valley tonight that I thought would run really well. Not sure what price they are now after scratchings, but Rotator, if it can find the front, will be very hard to beat in race something. And in race number 7, Humble Pie, I loved its first up run at Geelong. There was money for it there too, 41-26, and with any luck at all, it would have been in the finish. I think it's around $7 tonight and can run well.
All right, Rotator is in race 3 at $6, and then Humble Pie in race number 7, something Shark doesn't know anything about. It's into $5.50. Sharknado, enjoy Derby Day. Best of luck, mate. We will have you on a special edition of The Verdict on Monday. We'll look back on Derby Day and it will be a full Melbourne Cup preview. Final field yourself. We'll also get Lee Mottishead from the international perspective live from the UK to go through each and every runner in the Lexus Melbourne Cup and find the winner. Enjoy one of the great days racing tomorrow, Sharky.
I will, Michael. Hope everyone backs plenty of winners.